I want to ask you, if you would, to turn to the sixth chapter of the Roman letter. I really enjoy studying the book of Romans. A lot of it is really challenging to me, but I enjoy trying to study it. In Romans chapter 6, I want to read a fairly short lesson beginning with verse 1. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Big question here. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And I want to stop reading there, having read those first seven verses of Romans chapter 6. Now there's a point in this, in the fourth verse, that I believe is really crucial and very valid. And you know, those in the world that believe in what is known as baptismal regeneration, those that believe that, you know, you get saved by being baptized, or you have to be baptized to be saved, they really need to really take a close look at this fourth verse of Romans chapter 6, because listen to what it says. Therefore, we are buried how? We are buried with him by baptism into death. I'll tell you, if you're not with him when you're baptized, you're not going to get with him because of it. We are baptized with him. You know, he's got to be with us, and we've got to be with him before that takes place for it to be of any value to us. But I want to just, you know, speak for hopefully just a little while tonight. And I want to try to portray the thought that is upon my heart tonight by using the title, What Now? What Now? I want you to think about those of us that have been saved by God's grace. This morning, I tried to speak about the spiritual blessings that God blesses us with, and how valuable salvation is, how wonderful that it is to be saved, and how much greater the spiritual gifts of God are than the material things of this life. And when I recorded the sermon this afternoon there for the old-fashioned gospel hour, I spoke about the way that God has made for us to be able to be saved and go to heaven when we die, that we could escape God's wrath and escape the eternal torments of hell and have a wonderful place in heaven for eternity when we have left this world. God has done great things for us. And so we, you know, we seek the Lord with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, Contrite means we've been bruised or we've been crushed. And so we seek the Lord in that way. He convicts us of our sins and causes us to see our need, and we turn to Him and we repent of our sins, and by His help and by His grace, we place our trust in Him, and He gives to us this great gift of salvation. And so then we obey Him by following Him in baptism, as Paul has spoken about here. We put our light on the candlestick. We unite with His church according to His commandment. And we make it known publicly. We give public testimony that we have been saved. And we give public testimony of that when we go into the waters of baptism. We testify to the world that there's a change that has been wrought in our hearts by the operation of God. And so now we are, we are symbolizing in this ordinance that the old man is being put away. And when we are raised up, we symbolize in this ordinance that the new man now will walk according to the Lord and His teachings and walk in His ways. That's what we do when, that's what we testify of when we are baptized into the Lord's church. So what now? What about after that has taken place? Then what do we do? And this is a very, I believe, a very valid question, because obviously there have been many that evidently don't understand that after that point that there's something else that's required of us. Because we see people... Let me just say this. Probably a couple of years back, I was talking to one of my pastor friends on the phone, and he was telling me about a man that he had baptized. This man came forward in the church and gave his testimony and expressed his desire to unite with the church, and he did, and the church received him, and he said, "I baptized this man into the church and never saw him again." He said, literally, the day that I baptized him was the last time that I've seen him. And I thought about similar experiences of, someone coming forward and giving their testimony and expressing their desire to be a part of the Lord's church, and the church takes them in faith. The church receives them into her membership, into her fellowship, and we administer this most sacred and important ordinance of baptism, and the next thing you know, they're nowhere to be found. Listen, that it should not be that way. And that's not what the Bible teaches us. We have a great responsibility, and it's always been true, and it's true in many different ways in life, but with great privilege comes great responsibility. And I'm telling you, it is a blessing, it is a blessed privilege to be saved. It's not something that we earn or merit, or it's not something that we deserve. We're saved by grace, and it's a great blessing and a privilege to be able to say, "I'm a child of God." And it's a great blessing to be a part of the Lord's church. That too, that's not something that we have earned. That's not something that we're deserving of. That's something that God grants us, again, by His grace, because that we have been saved. And He says, now you can be a member of the greatest thing on earth, you can be a member of my church. And so, you know, the Apostle Paul here is talking about that when he's talking about the fact that we are buried symbolically, that we are buried with him by baptism into death. And if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, from this time forward, from henceforth, that we should not serve sin. And so we are required, we are scripturally required from that day forward to live a different life. Amen. To spend our time on earth living for the Lord. Now, you know, we fret, I believe, sometimes in this life. We often look back with regret about things that we have done in life. I mean, does anybody here not have any regrets? I'll tell you what, if that's true of any of you, you're a lot better person than I am. We look back oftentimes at our life and there are things that we regret. We regret perhaps time that we've wasted or something that we knew that we were supposed to do and we didn't do it. We may, oftentimes, we may think about, you know, things that we have been guilty of. And we may also think about things that we are possibly able of being guilty of. Well, I'll give you something that you can rest in for a little while tonight. Because there's something that you are never, as a child of God, there's something that you are never going to be guilty of. Not one of us. There's something that none of us as God's people are ever going to be guilty of. You can rest assured in this. We will never be guilty of giving too much of ourselves to God. Amen. Ever. You know, we don't even have to question where you draw the line there. Because if we continue on in this Roman letter, in the 12th chapter of Romans, in the first two verses, the Apostle Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so when you think about that, you know, we should be able to look at that and we should be able to realize that we can never give God too much of our time. We can never honor him with too much of our resources. It just can't be done. So you don't have to worry, you know, will I ever cross the line and be doing too much for God? Because I promise you, you won't ever be. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, when God sent his son to the world to make the sacrifice for our sins, you read about the life of Jesus, and you'll be convinced, and I know you already are, but you read about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way he spent his time here on earth, and I'm telling you, he came and gave it all. Amen. He gave it all. He didn't keep anything back. He gave himself completely. And when we go to him and we seek him for the salvation of our soul, we have to do that same thing or else we won't be saved. We have to give everything up. I'm convinced that a person cannot harbor or hold on to one thing in their heart and be saved. If there's one thing that's more important to that person than the salvation of their soul, they're not going to get it. We give everything up to him in order to be saved. I believe that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, whoever loses his life is going to save it. Whoever saves his life is going to lose it. We have to let everything go in order to be saved. And you know what? I'm convinced that those that have been saved know that. You know that. You had to give it all up to the Lord. We make promises to him. And as I said, the Lord saves us and he makes us feel so full of joy and so good that we push forward and we join the church. We receive scriptural baptism, but then we reach the point, it seems, where little by little we begin to back away. We begin to back away from the things that we ought to be doing, living for Christ. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. If you've been saved by God's grace, don't you know that he owns you? He owns you. You are his property. He bought us. With a great price, he bought us. With the blood of Christ, he bought us. He redeemed us. And we belong to him. So the Bible says that we are to glorify God in our body. Now there's something important. We are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. Let me tell you something. You can't just take your body into the world and satisfy the flesh, allowing the carnal man to distract you from God, doing worldly things, and say, well, yeah, but I was there, I was serving him in spirit. It doesn't work. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have this treasure, the Bible says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And so we've got to crucify the flesh. Crucify that old man. Boy, we battle him, don't we? We battle that old man because you know what? He still wants to do things contrary to the Lord. The old man still wants to do things his way. But how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Anybody got the answer? Paul asked the question, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We just can't. We cannot, from that point on, we just cannot allow sin to reign in our mortal bodies. We've got to dedicate them to the Lord. So we don't have to worry about doing too much. I've known some people, quite honestly. I've known some people, even Christian people, that seem to believe that you can get too much of God. I've never seen any way that that can happen. I used to visit with a man up in Indianapolis. His name was Brother Lester York. He was an old preacher. And he used to always say, "I'd rather wear out for God than rust out for the devil." You know what? If you wear yourself out serving God, what a way to go, huh? I mean, what a way to live. You know, there's a man in the Bible that we read about that Paul said was doing that very thing. You hardly ever hear about him. If you read the Philippian letter, you'll read about him, but you hardly ever hear anything said about Epaphroditus, but he gave his all to the Lord. Paul said this man was just about to die because of his service to God. So what? That'd be, as far as I'm concerned, that'd be better than dying of cancer in a hospital bed, wouldn't it? I mean, one way or another, we're going to go, aren't we? One way or another, we're going to make that journey. I'll tell you what. People in this world, sometimes it's forgotten. Sometimes it's not realized and remembered the way that it should be. Sometimes their memory is not honored the way that it should be. Sometimes they're not recognized the way that they should be. But I'm telling you what, there have been many people in this world, including you and I, that have benefited so greatly by people who were willing to give it all for the Lord. They were willing to live their life in service to God. Many of them were willing and did give up their physical life in their service to God. And, you know, when you think about it, and here's the way I look at it. When you think about it, and when you read the pages of history, and when you read the Bible, and you read some of the things that happened to people, and you think, what a challenge that must have been, what a hard thing that must have been for them to do. But, you know, like I said, think about it. You know, if it ever even comes to the point that a person, a child of God, has to give up their life for the Lord, you can die honoring God, or you can die in a hospital bed with your heart worn out. I mean, you know, we got to leave, don't we? It's appointed to us. And I believe that that's what sustained those people. You know, I'm convinced, you know, and things I read, I'm convinced that they said, "Look, I have the opportunity to honor the Lord by giving up my life for Him." I believe that was their attitude. And it ought to be our attitude as living sacrifices. I have the opportunity to honor the Lord by presenting my body to Him, a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable unto God. If you get tired along the way, if you get weary along the road, just pray to God. He'll give you grace. He'll give you the grace you need to sustain you. I believe it's worth it. And I believe that as He gave everything for us, that we ought to be willing to give everything for Him. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for your attention. Ponder these things. When you ask yourself the question, is there something else? Is there something that I need to be doing for the Lord? Like I said, you won't have to busy your mind worrying about whether or not you're going to do too much. You won't even have to consider that. Now, we all are going to have to do some soul searching as to whether or not we're doing too little. But we won't have to worry about going overboard, because if we present our bodies to Him a living sacrifice, all we are doing is what is our reasonable service to Him. So, Brother Strode, maybe you got a song tonight. Tell you what, let's do. Let's stand and sing. Let's have a Christian handshake.